Welcome to All Well Stands, Back to the Basics podcast and radio shows. I'm your host, Tim Metzger from Rapid City, South Dakota. It has been my honor to be able to preach these things throughout Africa. It has been my honor to be able to work with this shortwave radio station for quite a few years, off and on. And I did originally the United States. It went down into the top of South America, and then I switched to Africa. And I felt that there was a need to do some basic stuff just to put out God's word. But I also, as I was doing it, I decided that I would post it all up on the website and figured out how to do it so that anyone who would ever come across it could listen to these at any point in time. And I thought that was good. And so I feel that now the Lord has, after this is the final show. It's not that I won't necessarily add more podcasts from time to time as the Lord leads, but as far as the Back to the Basics program, this is it. This is the last show. And so this is also All Well Stands' last show, broadcasting over Africa. And it has been my honor to have been used by God to preach His truth for anyone who will listen. Yes, I'm your host, Tim Metzger, from Rapid City, South Dakota. You can visit the website at allwellstand.org. So, on today's show, what I want to do is something a little bit different. I just simply want to have a conversation and go over some verses of the Bible. And this is a conversation towards those who happen to hear this, whether it's through a podcast or whether you're hearing it live broadcast right now. The last time it'll be broadcast. Well, there would be two times it would be broadcast. So, depending on where you're at, likely for you would be the last time. If you happen to hear it and you get saved down the road, or you have just become saved, or you're a newborn in Christ, a babe in Christ, I want to just give you a heads up of some things that I went to church, different churches in the United States my whole life. Got saved at 9 years old, and by the time I had graduated high school, I had went to quite a few different churches. I went wherever my family went, and we didn't go around that much, but you know, I went to a Nazarene church, and I went to a Assembly of God church, and then I went to a missionary church, and then I would also go to a Baptist church once in a while. My friend's dad was a deacon there, so I had a little bit of Baptist. It was a Southern Baptist church. And, you know, throughout the years, there were a lot of things that they taught that were very good, very correct on the Bible. And then there were some things that just they didn't touch on at all. And so let me go over one thing here. Let's go over and take a look at Hebrews. So here's one thing I wish I had known when I was younger. Okay, I graduated. I was saved. I graduated high school, and there was some good Bible teaching, but there was also some pretty loose living and not doing what was right amongst everyone, for the most part. Well, perhaps a couple lessons on this, and one would have realized it sooner. Okay, and this is also a way to see if you're really saved. If you've been saved for a little while, this will happen to you. Let's start with Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, He disciplines and whips every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not discipline? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Should we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father's spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days disciplined us as seemed best to them, but He is He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been exercised by it. Okay, I am going to end right there with that little section. So, let me just briefly say this. Okay. If you're saved, and you decide that you're going to do things that are contrary to the Bible, let's just pick one here. Well, it doesn't really matter what you do. Something where you just don't quit. I'm not talking, you know, you're saved and you're young and you go and you party and get drunk that suddenly you're going to be chastised. You might be rebuked, you know. But if you were to keep on doing that, going out partying and partying and partying with some friends and partying and partying, even as saved, yes. Oh, I know. Baptist. Oh, they weren't there. No, you can be saved. You see, what would happen is if nothing ever happened, if nothing ever happened, if you just did it for however long, just kept on doing it and until, you know, maybe even quit on your own. A couple years go down the road, a year goes down the road, and nothing ever happened. God didn't correct you. And trust me, you would somehow know it. It would enter your mind. You might not believe it, but you would enter your mind that this is because you might not believe it. But it would enter your mind. And if that never happened, whatever the chastening that God chose, we'll call it the, you know, paddling that God chose for you, the discipline that he decided would work best for you, and of course his decision is always the best, then you're not saved. I mean, this is what it says right here in Hebrews 12:8. Then you are illegitimate and not sons. So if you're saved, eventually you're going to make a mistake. And you're going to sin. You could read the life of David, the man after God's own heart. And he committed adultery. He committed murder. He counted to people. God forgave him. Did he get chastised? Absolutely. Absolutely. Every believer, the Bible makes it quite clear. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are legitimate and not sons. I would assume if you're saved and it's been a short period, you may very well have not experienced that. But the reality is we have forgiveness of sins in Christ. But sometimes God has to, we'll say, get out the paddle. So that's one thing that I wish I would have known when I was younger. Now, some of these reasons I believe that these things were not known by me is because, unfortunately, a lot of people who call themselves Christian are not Christian. Okay, let's go over that real quick, and then let's continue on here. So this is something that you're going to deal with if you become saved, or if you're saved, you're going to see this. Even if you've been saved a while and you're scratching your head, not knowing what is going on, this is what happened to me years ago. I remember I was saved and I was, you know, blown about by every wind of doctrine and not always behaving well and not even realizing I was being chastised. I'd had that thought in my mind, but didn't really believe it. And I remember seeking God. This is probably back in 2000, maybe 2001. And I remember, you know, what is the truth? What is going on? And I had met this guy, you know, Paul, but I at the time I didn't have my own computer. I just used it at the library. I would talk to him once in a while. That was a long time ago. So I remember I was sitting at, because God will, if you seek God's truth, if you seek his wisdom, he will give it to you. It will come. You will get it. Bible's quite clear about that. I'll let you do a word search on that for sake of time. About God giving wisdom in the New Testament. And anyway, I remember I was sitting at a Burger King in just outside of Chicago, where I ended up actually becoming a manager, and meeting a good friend afterwards. I'm still friends with to this day, who actually thought he was saved and got saved afterwards. He went to a Baptist church. And I remember sitting there, and I had seeking God, and there's this guy I saw in there. We became friends. I wonder what happened to him. And I saw him reading a book, and he had a Bible. And I And I felt like God was telling me to get up. And I mean, I'm like, this guy's like, he probably wasn't that old. But at the time when you're 20 or 21, I might have been 21. You know, these people who are like 35, I mean, to me, they're like 60-year-old to walkers, you know. And so I always remember that at my age now, going on 50, I know what young people think. And so I remember, you know, like, I felt like God wanted me to talk to this guy. So I walked by him and I looked at him and he gives me the stare like, what are you doing? And I said to him, I said, he had Revelation chapter 3 open. I said, I knew about the church ages. I said, do you know about the church ages? I had known it from a friend who went to Bob Jones University and had this pretty cool book on Revelation. And he's like, yeah, have a seat. And we became friends afterwards, but it was through that where I started seeing that, you know, because I wanted to know, like, what is real and what is not? What does God require? What does he not? And it was a process. And honestly, the Lord, it went pretty quick. I would say in 2 or 3 years, I mean, at that time, then me and Paul Becker of A Voice in the Wilderness Ministry, we started becoming pretty good friends because, I mean, I'm just, well, you know, I want to know the truth. Acts 17, 11, now every single thing that I had ever been taught, I am looking up. Is this true? Is this true? Is this true? Is this true? So, you know, let's get to this, though, because here's one of these truths. Starting with Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many entering in through it. Because narrow is the gate, and distressing is the way which leads unto life, and there are few who find it. I'm going to stop there. We need to take that very seriously. Okay? Few who find it. Maybe you're one of the lucky ones and you're around a larger group of believers. But understand, this is not my opinion. This is what the Bible says. Okay? So there are many who are going through the Broadway, but you're looking for the narrow gate, and it's distressing as a way. Okay. Continuing with verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them from their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree produces excellent fruit, but a corrupt tree produces evil fruit. A good tree is not able to produce evil fruit, nor is a corrupt tree able to produce excellent fruit. Every tree that does not produce excellent fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, from the fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So, let me stop there. I'm going to go over Matthew 7, 22 and verse 23. Now, I want you to consider this. These are people who have done works, who claim to be Christians, and have done works. And so, these are believers, people who claim to be believers who are not really saved. They may be very well deceived. Some of them may be ravenous wolves. But I would say in this case, these are people who thought they were saved, were told they were saved often, were not really saved. As I guess one Baptist preacher told me not that long ago, they were head saved, not heart saved. I would agree with that. Bible says in Matthew 7, 22 and 23, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many works of power in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who work out lawlessness. Okay, so let's get that out of the way. I will tell you, personally, yes, you deal, some of the biggest persecution you might get, it actually can come from you wholeheartedly following God's word, believing what it says, doing what is right, taking it very seriously, and it can come from the church. Hey, I don't think we should be listening to kind of music. See what happens. I don't think this is right. See what happens. Just standing for God's word, not purposely stirring up trouble, but when things come up, you know, standing for God's word. In the United States is terrible. I'm not sure of the situation in Africa when it comes to that type of stuff. Now, there's another thing I really wish that had been taught, and I feel that when I was young, the reason this isn't is because, unfortunately, a lot of people who I was surrounded by, I can think back, a lot of them were very nice people. some of them have very good morals, and I will tell you, and this is a cult, okay, you can, if you go to Jack Chick, you'd have to find this stuff, and he passed away now, hopefully home with the Lord, and he had some good books written that he would sell, and I know his website's still around, maybe it's not the best anymore, I don't know. But he had some good resources on, you know, Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons and explaining why those were are bad things. It wasn't stuff that he necessarily wrote, but it was books that he sold. Good materials that I could easily point you to. I have a copy of them somewhere around here. So, and I'd like to use this as an example, is if you get to know some... I think Jehovah Witness, for me, is usually the example I know because I've known more of those than I have Mormons. Some of them are very, very moral people, okay? I've met some very moral Catholics. I've met some very immoral Catholics, too. You know, I guess it's been purgatory a little bit longer, you know? But, I mean, I say that not advocating that. That's not true. But I just know that's what they teach. And, you know, and I've met some, you know, like Pentecostals, very moral people, very nice people, very friendly people, people, you know, who are... people you'd rather hang around with probably than many other people, you know, who aren't trouble, and but yet they're not saved, yet they're in the same boat. And so I feel like a lot of the reason that this stuff wasn't taught is because the people around me weren't chastised. And often even the pastors and the teachers and the deacons, and if the church had them, and you know, and I can think of some who I truly believe were saved. I can think of even, you know, in this in a missionary church I went to, the guy who was a lieutenant for the police department, and I truly, truly believe that he was saved. You know, and so there were people who were saved. There were people who I truly believe were saved at the Nazarene church, and then there were people who weren't. And there's carnal Christians and stuff too. We don't have time to get into all that. There's a lot of stuff. That's why, you know, point you to a couple of resources. You know, please check out allwillstand.org. Check out the Christian Resource Center. Check out the link. There's a lot of information, and that gives you a really good starting point. But let the Holy Spirit teach you if you're saved. But I do want to get into what can happen to a believer. And the reason I probably never recall hearing this growing up is because a lot of people who are around didn't experience this because they weren't really saved. John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before you. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. Verse 19. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. Okay, so I will add in there that one of the things is a lot of people will consider themselves to be saved and will sometimes be the one who are doing these things. Okay, so consider that. Makes it a little bit more difficult when somebody wants to profess with their lips that they are saved, and they might even believe it, but in reality, in their heart, they're not saved. Okay, or there are sometimes people who are saved and they're just in error, that for instance they might be saved, but you know, this is a judgment seat of Christ thing. So we can't necessarily say, well, I got persecuted by a believer. Somebody calls himself a believer, so they're certainly not saved. Not necessarily true. Nor can we sit there and look at somebody who does something wrong, because look at what Peter did. You can research it yourself before the rooster crowed. And, you know, I mean, we all get our feet dirty from time to time. Also research that. And so we can all be essentially doing wrong and even persecuting our believer without, you know, and something that we need to seek forgiveness from that believer and from God. So it's not, you know, but the point is I always like to go back to where the Bible says, you follow me. And it's just an example. Speaking of, you know, a question a disciple asked, you can research that. I believe it's actually in John. Anyway, let me go on here a little bit more and try to hit this home before we're out of time here. So where to separate ourselves? Where to be different? And this is going by following the word of God as somebody gets saved and starts to become sanctified, become, you know, as Christ starts working. Okay, let's go over 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, and going on. And therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has been released from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh, in the lust of men, but in the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In this regard, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same overflow of dispensation blaspheming. Okay. So, we did these things, you know, that repentance, that change of mind, where, you know, we no longer want to do these things. We're sorry for doing it. We want to serve God. We're going to repent towards God. We're going to follow Christ with our whole hearts. We're no longer going to do these things. So, what can happen? Okay. This took me a while to figure out. I should have been smarter and figured it out sooner. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. And let's go through, we'll just go until I stop. Beloved, do not be astonished at the fiery trial which is to try you, as though something unheard of was happening to you. Okay, I'm going to stop right there, actually, with that verse. I went to church my whole life growing up, and maybe they spoke it and I just wasn't paying attention, but it's possible. But it was definitely something that wasn't, you know, preached on a regular basis if it was preached. So to me, it was unheard of. But, you know, as I grew up, and honestly, I still know so few believers in person to this day. It's quite sad. But, I mean, in person, you know, people, and especially like in my local area, I know a couple, maybe a handful. But, you know, the thing is, there's a fiery trial which tries us, okay? And it's going to try you. And it's going to seem like, so if you're, basically it's like this. If I were to just go to, say, a regular Southern Baptist church that had some rock and roll, okay? You know, just kind of like, or maybe it doesn't have to be Southern Baptist. Just like, we have churches all over like that around here. They're kind of modern, hip, you know, maybe grab myself a Starbucks coffee at the door. And there's some good stuff the pastor's saying. He's walking around jeans, kind of casual, you know. Tons of churches in the United States like that. I don't think you'll find as many in Africa like that, but trust me, they'll be on their way. You know, you talk to people, it's always kind of happy-go-lucky. You know, it's like, oh, well, a Christian can't be depressed, or a Christian, you know, I mean, it's easy, everything, you know. Let me tell you, there is a fiery trial. Okay. There is a fiery trial. Continuing on, let's got to hit this home. But rejoice in so far as you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also rejoice with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory in God rests upon you. According to them, he is blasphemed, but according to you, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a meddler in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this regard. Okay, I'll end there with verse 16. Now, one of the other verses or the passages of scripture that I like to use and have in the past in law is Revelation chapter 3, verse, start with 15, I think, go for 21. This is speaking of the church. This is speaking of the last church age. This is a church age that we are in. You'll see this more in the United States. Not so much where you'll have Catholic, though it's kind of in there a little bit, but they're not good to begin with. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. I must interject here. This is why I say it's off in the United States and the stuff that we export. Continuing. And do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes of eye salt, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. How about that right there? Ending with verse 21. For seriousness of the realm in which we live. Is it easy? No. United States, it's very difficult. Is it easy in Africa? No. In Africa, it's very difficult. Anyone else listening to us, I understand it's difficult. The Christian walk is easy. Becoming a Christian is easy. Jesus clearly teaches that his yoke is light. His burden is light. It's not a hard thing to do, okay? You will be resisted. The devil will flee from you. Let's go over that real quick. James, Jacob, we'll just go with James for the sake of this. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you, okay? Just keep on resisting. Weigh everything by the word of God. That is your key. You know, don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Know and read the Bible. Understand the Bible. You want to protect yourself from false ways, you need to get into the word of God. You don't necessarily need to get into what I've written and other men have written. Read the Bible. Read it again. Get a good version in whatever language it is you read. And read it, and read it, and read it, and study it, and pray, and the Holy Spirit will teach you all things that you need to know. Yes, there are great resources. Utilize them too, from good people. But in order to know who's good, you're going to have to know the Word of God. And no, nobody's going to be perfect. You're not going to find a perfect ministry out there. Nowhere. But I hope that God will allow you with prayer to find a good place in your area. I just simply... The last radio show going out there, and of course these podcasts are always available. I just simply wanted to put this out there for people who are truly saved or who will listen to us and are babes in Christ, stuff that I wish I had known. There's a lot more that could be said, but this is a Back to the Basics programming. It has been a Back to the Basics programming for a while. So, with that said, let me finish up with this. You can always email me at tim@allwillstand.org. More than happy to answer your emails if it's reasonable. You know, not hate mail. Maybe I'll answer that too. Maybe I won't. Honestly, I don't get much email at all. I get hardly anything. But that is a day of the apostasy in which we live. If it wasn't, then, you know, well, that is the way it is. Obviously, the website is at allwillstand.org, and I would just like to interject here to somebody who may be listening to this. I am certainly waiting for you. So, anyway, you can always, as far as everyone else, you can take and you can email me, visit the website. There's a lot of free material up on there, and once again, it has been my honor to be able to do these podcasts. I did some AM, FM radio in the United States for a while. Some small cities, some large cities. And, you know, I know it's sad to, you know, go off air. I hope that I'll be able to post some stuff on podcasts. Perhaps God will have me go back on air, but God has clearly given me a different direction. I got rid of the AM FM back in June of 2024 of this year. And, you know, honestly, twice I felt God wanted me to do that, and he has given me a different focus. I'll still be doing his work, just not this type of stuff. I'll be doing a different direction he has me going in, except for occasionally a column that so far has been twice per week. Anyway, you know, I do feel, unfortunately, that this was it. That I have fulfilled the Back to the Basics, and God has spoken to my heart that that was it. So it has been nice, and I only hope that you look into the things of God.